The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
For the first time in a long time, Donald Trump has been silenced, and I, for one, am grateful. But in that clip, what he was going to say was that Ireland and its pharma sector, he doesn't want to hurt Ireland, but they've taken a huge amount of money. Very clever, as he said, in how we have managed this. Economist Colin McCarthy, good morning.
Morning, Jonathan.
It sounds, Trump sounds like a classic abuser. You know, I don't want to hit you, but I'm going to. I mean, that's effectively what he's been saying to Ireland for the last few weeks.
Well, if he goes ahead with a transatlantic tariff war, and we'll know, I think it's next Wednesday they're going to make the definitive announcement. If he goes ahead, there will be the same tariffs on Irish exports to the United States as there are on everybody else in the European Union.
Yeah, because he's not going to be able to differentiate it between French products and Irish products. If they're on pharmaceutical products, okay, champagne you can target because it's a specific thing.
Yeah.
But pharmaceuticals are everywhere.
There is no champagne produced in Cork, but there's a lot of pharmaceuticals. So they will differentiate perhaps product by product, but not with different rates for different European Union countries. There's an interesting little wrinkle on all of that. It'll be difficult for him to avoid saying Britain is part of Europe. And if he does, then there could be a situation where there can be no special sweetheart deal for the UK, even though the UK has left the European Union. And there's a further angle, and it's this. Supposing in some convoluted way he can decide to have a slightly different tariff, or maybe a materially different tariff on UK stuff than on European Union stuff, that's very difficult to operate, because the United Kingdom, while they left the single market and they left the customs union and so on because of Brexit, they still have zero tariffs between Britain and the EU. And that means no customs on the border here. There's a special deal on that. So it's very difficult to understand how you would operate a system where the tariffs on Britain were a bit different from on Europe. Not least because of the Irish border.
Yeah, well, I'm going to hazard a guess and say they haven't really thought about that too much. But when you talk about the tariffs that he has put on steel products, for example, with Mexico and Canada, I mean, that is having an impact on the Rust Belt now, because they can't get the raw material they need to make the cars that Donald Trump says he is promoting and protecting. But this is going to be the first time, if they impose tariffs on pharmaceuticals, that it's going to impact more ordinary Americans, because, and this seems to have glossed over a lot of the American coverage, it's the consumer who is going to pay more here in the US for drugs that they need to stay alive. So I wonder how long and how sustainable this particular tariff could be.
Well, it remains to be seen. He's chopped and changed a bit already, as you will recall. There were initial threats, and then it was deferred, and we still don't know exactly what the full set of rates would be. But it looks like it's going to go ahead, at least initially, and then it could become entrenched, and you could have a long-duration transatlantic tariff war, which would be very destructive. Or it could begin to fizzle out and chop and change and so on. It's very difficult to know. There's another angle to all of this, though, that's important. Ireland gets a lot of tax revenue from U.S. multinational companies, partly because they're here and they're, you know, producing stuff here, employing people and so on. But in addition, U.S. companies are kind of allowed to pick and choose where they'd like to pay their tax. And they do pay tax. They're not tax-free or anything like that. But they have chosen to pay an awful lot of corporation tax in Ireland in the last few years. That's why there's a budget surplus here. It's not because the government has been trying to contain public spending. They haven't really. Public spending has gone up very quickly. And there have been tax breaks as well. But the US companies more than make up for that, or have been doing recently. So the budget surplus here is a bit artificial in the sense that the US could get rid of it, and fairly quickly too, if they change the US domestic law on corporation tax. And it sounds like they're going to do it. There's a fellow called Howard Lutnick.
He doesn't like us, Cullum. He's made that very clear.
He doesn't, yeah. But the really worrying thing about what Lutnick said, he is the Secretary of Commerce in Trump's cabinet. The really worrying thing about what he said is that he kind of has a point. Ireland is getting a whole heap of tax revenue, which really should be paid in the United States. And the reason is a kind of a quirk in the U.S. tax system that they're very well aware of, and which says that U.S. corporations do not have to add up their total worldwide profits and pay tax on them in the USA. They can say, oh, well, we've already paid somewhere else, and the somewhere else might be some place with somewhat lower rates of tax than the U.S., and that's us. So it's open to the U.S., and they're conscious of it, and they've been conscious of it for years, actually.
Yeah,
it's open to them to unilaterally say, sorry, lads, that's over. And it has the additional attraction that only Ireland of the European Union countries is a big winner from this flaw in the American tax system. Well, a couple of others,
but we'll be affected. We've been milking
a couple of others that will be affected, but us more than anybody else.
And I want to bring in Coen Verhulst, who's with Politico, in just a moment. But Cullum, what fascinates me about this is the conversation about Donald Trump saying these are American companies. And while they may be founded in America and they may have their global headquarters in America, is there such a thing as an American company anymore because of the way that global trade works?
Yeah. Most countries have a tax law which says that if your tax domicile is in Germany, then you add up all your worldwide profits and you pay tax on them in Germany, or in Italy, or Britain, or wherever it might be. The American corporation tax law is different, and it's unusual. So Lutnick is kind of right. That's why I worry about him.
Which is why Pascal Donoghue is worried about him as well. Coen Verhulst, trade reporter with Politico, good morning.
Good morning.
How much of the market's attitude to what happens on what Trump is calling Liberation Day will impact on how long it lasts?
Well, it's not been good, clearly. You know, the German car manufacturers, for instance, have been seeing their rates go down for sure. I mean, they're the ones that are, especially in within Europe, the ones that would be hurting the most.
I read an article in the Wall Street Journal saying that the optimism, and it was always going to be slightly misplaced, in Donald Trump being good for the economy is starting to wane amongst American industrialists. Is there much confidence anymore that Donald Trump's policies are going to reap rewards?
You mean on the U.S. side?
Yeah.
I think that's indeed the question. I mean, especially also with how U.S. voters are really very much looking at the inflation numbers, right? And these tariffs on cars in the U.S. they're going to drive up the price of like a European car by maybe 10,000 euros, and that's going to fuel inflation then right away, basically. So it really will be very questionable on how tenable this will be on the long term.
Ultimately, look, markets like certainty. This is going to create a huge amount of uncertainty, particularly in terms of duration. Is there a possibility that the markets will be what curb this rather than any decision of Congress?
I guess it could be. I mean, Trump will want to, you know, still look at what the markets are doing, right? And when he sees that cars are becoming more expensive or medication, as we were just talking about before, maybe there will be political pressure as well on top of, you know, just simply the company results and import data.
Yeah. In all of this, there's a narrative in the US about tariffs. I mean, I don't know whether it's the Europeans kind of understand tariffs a little bit more because, you know, we spent a long time getting rid of them with the European Union and we realize free trade, guess what, even after Brexit kind of reinforced our mood that free trade's a good thing and helps all our economies at the same time. The Americans are being fed a very simplistic version of tariffs insofar as it's going to be good for us. But they won't know what they like until they actually start to feel them. And they haven't started to feel them yet.
That is absolutely true. And that's, of course, also like why this whole tariff war that Trump is starting is so disruptive for the whole world. I mean, the supply chains have been made based on free trade. You know, like one very good example is that Volkswagen, the German car manufacturer, they make half of what they sell in the U.S. Nearly half of that comes actually from Mexico, and then a little bit more is actually partially produced in Mexico and assembled in the US. So these kind of things, these kind of sort of structures that have been in place for decades, they're about to start crumbling if this lasts for more than, you know, just a couple of weeks.
Mm. Colin McCarthy, just to finish up with you, look, this is effectively an isolationist policy. He wants to bring everything back to America and to hell with the rest of the world. That's his policy. That's what he says he was elected on. It's how the rest of the world reacts to this that will be significant now. Do you think that we're going to see closer links between South America and Canada and the European Union? And potentially, I'd imagine the people who are most intrigued by all of this are the Chinese.
Well, just on the European Union, Ireland is a full member of the European Union. We have no tariffs within Europe. And we have a common external tariff on everybody else, including America. Whatever is applied to Europe will apply to Ireland. There's no question that, you know, because he likes playing golf in Clare or something, or because he thinks the Irish are wonderful, that there could be some kind of a special deal. That's important. The second thing is this, though, and I think this has been underplayed a little bit. They can screw us on corporation tax without really screwing anybody else. It's a special exposure, and it's different from the exposure to a tariff war. Maybe the tariff war will only last for a little while, and maybe price inflation in the United States will edge up a bit, and they'll chop and change, and they'll stop doing it. But the corporation tax change, which Lutnick has hinted at very, very bluntly, that'd be for keeps.
Mm, absolutely. And keeps for at least for the next 3.5 years. Colin McCarthy, economist, Coen Verhelst, trade reporter with Politico. Thank you very much for joining us. You know, we did the dance on St. Patrick's Day and, you know, we sent Micheál Martin over and it was viewed as a diplomatic success insofar as entering a bear pit and not being mauled by a bear would be considered a success. But ultimately, when Trump says he likes Ireland, he doesn't. He likes a very small part of it that he owns in Clare and he really doesn't care about the rest of it. And I go back to the analogy, he's an abuser. I don't want to hit you, but I'm going to. And that's not a healthy relationship in any shape or form, but that's what Pascal Donohue is really worried about. And as he's been speaking about there, and as Colin McCarthy has indicated, it may not be such a short-term thing.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.